Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Timberline Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB under the symbol TLRS. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Patrick Highsmith. Now, to bring everybody up to speed, Timberline is focused at the Eureka project in Nevada. This is on the Battle Mountain Eureka Gold Trend. Now, the project already has a resource on it, right around 650,000 ounces. Now, we are following up on a news release that came out just today, December 6th, titled Timberline Reports High-Grade Oxide Gold in Channel Samples from the Oswego Target. Now, this is the first news we're getting out of this Oswego Target, and some of the grades that you are seeing from the surface sampling, upwards of 12 to 14 grams per ton gold. Patrick, just start us off, please, giving a little bit more color on this Oswego Target and the importance of these higher grade samples, please.
Good morning, Corey. Sure. Happy to elaborate a little bit. Our results from Timberline today, as you said, are surface sampling from our huge Eureka project. And the thing is, this is a 70 square kilometer project on the Battle Mountain Eureka trend in Nevada. And Oswego is one of those targets. It's one of three trends on this huge property. It's actually about a kilometer and a half east of our resource area. But no systematic work there for many years, Corey, but we knew there was high grade there reported by previous workers, sort of 12 grams in surface sampling that we knew about. And finally, we got in there this summer, did some systematic sampling. We brought in an excavator. We cut across this fault zone and we channel sampled along the fault zone. And so these are systematic work, Corey. We used diamond saws. We used hammer drills, really hit this rock hard. And in doing so, along this fault, we got two really nice runs, one 25.9 meters of continuously mineralized samples, averaging 14.42 grams per ton. And that had a 7.6 meter strike length that averaged 23.16 grams. And those rocks are oxidized, really good looking numbers at surface. And then a little south of that, another channel, 27.4 meters of continuously mineralized rocks, averaging about 12.02 grams per ton, again, all oxidized. And we even trenched across this cliff, Corey. From the foot of this cliff, we were able to trench across the structure to get true width. And there we also reported we've sampled about 8.2 meters of true width in one case, 10.7 meters in a couple more cases. And those are our lower grade, but still consistently mineralized, 1.68 grams per ton average and 3.63 over that those true width cross cuts. We could not cut across the highest grade rock. It was just too hard, and there's a cliff there. So a lot more work to do in the third dimension, Corey, and we have already put a few drill holes under this target.
All right, so figure two in the news release does a good job of outlining those two different areas of the channel samples, the grade and the widths, as well as some of these other little offshoots. So I will post that figure below this interview. Give us some more information then, please, on the drilling. You mentioned there you have completed some drill holes here. How many drill holes? What was the strategy around these holes, please?
You know, we're so excited. This opportunity all falls on a patented claim, Corey, which is a great place to work in Nevada, easily permittable since it's private minerals and surface. And so what we did is we moved swiftly when we saw these results coming back, and we had limited access because there is this cliff there right on the fault. But we put, I think the number, Corey, is five fairly shallow holes. They're angled back to the east. And folks looking at figure two will be able to see those proposed drill hole locations. Most of those are now completed. So we've got about five drill holes back across this structure. And the idea is the fault dips steeply to the west. So with these drill holes, we'll hit it a little bit down dip. Probably not too deep, probably no deeper than about 60, 70 meters tops. But we'll be able to cut it in several places and see how that mineralization continues down dip. And there's some favorable host rocks down there, too. There's sort of a bigger picture target here as well. We're just focusing on this high-grade structure for now. And so really thrilled the guys were able to get five drill holes in before the snow chases us out here, maybe in a few weeks.
So, Patrick, can you give us a little bit more color on this oxide material? We hear a lot about oxide sulfide material, especially in Nevada, and oxide material is usually preferred. These results look like they are all oxide material. So what's the importance of this for this target now moving forward, please?
Yeah, as you and most of your audience would probably know, Corey, Nevada is home to really the birthplace of large-scale heap leach mining back in the 80s. And in fact, the Eureka Project, just north of here, may be the first heap leach gold mine in Nevada. So our Windfall project, or Windfall target at Eureka, was one of the earlier heap leach gold mines. Now, what that means is the sulfide minerals that often contain the gold have been oxidized or rusted. And so when that happens, the chemistry, quite frankly, is just a lot simpler. The gold's more available to be leached out of the rock with a dilute cyanide solution, and it can lead to low-cost gold recovery. Now, there's several tests to oxide mineralization, and we are well before any detailed metallurgical work at the Oswego target, Corey. However, the Eureka Project does host some oxide over at our Lookout Mountain resource just west of us. And here at Oswego, the geologists have confirmed that these rocks are visibly oxidized. When we look at them, we do not see fresh sulfide minerals. That's the first test. And secondly, we've assayed all these samples, Corey, for a second test, just to be a bit more rigorous, which is a cyanide leach test, which you compare with the fire assay, which is total gold. And as we reported in the news release, an average of 93% of the gold was recovered by these cyanide leach tests. That's a generally favorable result and a favorable early indication that this mineralization, at least at surface, is oxide. And with this kind of grade, quite frankly, Corey, a lot more of this sort of grade would certainly have the potential to be economic. So all important to get after the drilling, to test this thing out in three dimensions, and to keep up the technical work that the Timberline is known for.
All right, I think we are now up to date on this new Oswego target, but I do want to now kind of focus more property-wide. Looking at figure one, which I will also post below this interview, we can see this Oswego target to the east of some past high-grade drill results and where the current resource is. What information can you give us in terms of the exploration activities that are ongoing property-wide here?
It's been a great season. We got a bit of a late start, Corey, so we've only announced about five holes out of this drill program. As we've said in the press release, we've completed about seven more holes and about six more at the water well zone. We've completed several holes at Oswego, as I just said. So we've got upwards of 14 or 15 holes still to come, Corey, from this year's program. The figure one there in the press release shows the sort of center part of the project. Outlined in red is the Lookout Mountain resource area. And then just east of that, there's a yellow oval there. That's called the water well zone, where we've grown that early in the fall, in September, I think. We announced the first drilling earlier in the summer there. And you'll notice that cluster of high grade. And then if you look across a kilometer and a half to the east, there sits the Oswego target on that big blue fault zone. So the big picture we're trying to convey there, Corey, is there's this sort of valley or graben, and in the middle of it is that big gray geophysical anomaly, which seems to be maybe the roots to this thing. We finally put a drill hole into that, which we'll be announcing here during the winter, the results from that. And we've got this high-grade cluster of drilling on the west side of that feature. And here sits Oswego with so little work, and now the first systematic work and some great good grade at surface from these results. So really that's maybe it's a big picture, Corey, where there's kind of a symmetry around this geophysical anomaly. And we've been trying to figure out the controls on this high grade for some time. And this early success at Oswego seems to be a contributor in that direction. So stay tuned as drill results are going to come in from the water well zone over on the west side of that image in that yellow oval, and from the Oswego target, which is sort of in the right center of that figure where, as I said, we've completed several drill holes into the hopefully down-dip extension of these surface results we announced today.
So, Patrick, has there been any similarities that you've seen in terms of this early stage work at this Oswego target compared to either the resource area and the early work that was done there or around that area where you have some of those high-grade gold intercepts? Any similarities that you've seen in the rocks or any of that early on work?
Sure. Great question, Corey. And the news release is pretty complete in that regard. We included a second table there that shows historical results that predate National Instrument 43-101. So they shouldn't be relied upon. However, these were professional geologists doing what we believe to be good work. And those guys did announce some 3-gram intercepts in that historic drilling across this feature. So that's why we were so keen to get back there. And the host rocks there were what we expected to see. We had the El Dorado Dolomite and what's called the Secret Canyon Formation. These are host rocks that are known to host mineralization in the district. And we think that historical work was of good quality, but we needed to get out there and confirm it with modern data, modern quality assurance measures, and what have you. And that's in the news release with a bit of a disclaimer explaining that historical data, of course. But yeah, here you sit only a kilometer and a half from a 500,000 ounce measured and indicated resource, and yet no drilling since about 1990. So long overdue, and we're really happy to get started with the surface sampling and the drill holes with assays to come after the first of the year.
All right, Patrick, before I get you out of here, can you please just give us a quick update on the cash position of the company as you turn into next year, please?
Yeah, we are a U.S. issuer, Corey, so forgive me for using U.S. dollars, but our last cash position was about $2.5 million U.S. The budget has been performing extremely well, and we expect to complete this year's program with around $1 million in the bank here in the winter. So it's been a great program, well executed by Steve Osterberg, our Vice President of Exploration, and we should have a nice cash nest egg really for the winter. And who knows, we may be drilling in midwinter, Corey, if results dictate. We have all season access to this property.
All right, Patrick, we are wrapping it up here. I appreciate you taking the time to further elaborate on this recent news. We'll definitely follow up on the back of some assay results when you get those back from the lab. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Patrick regarding any of the work that's gone on within Timberline Resources, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get Patrick to address those. And as I mentioned, we will follow up on the back of some more news. Patrick, thanks for your time today. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too, Corey.